What's up, y'all? It's Anthony, and this is part two of our chat with Addie Chan. If you missed part one, it's right there on the podcast feed, but if you've already heard part one, you're in the right place. Let's pick up where we left off. Deeper practices, routines, different things that Addie specifically does, whether it balances her mental health, whether it like gives her her daily foundation, or whether it just like helps her stay inspired to move forward in the things that she does.
Give us all that.
Oh gosh, yeah. I think that's something that as we age, we all kind of get better at like identifying what are the things. I think we all experience such like chaotic, intensive times of life. Like, Aunt, you know, you just jumped off of this like month of like Jackson Wang Coachella chaos, you know. You just, I think, you know, our line of work is that we get dumped into these different tornadoes all the time. And then we come out of it. And then you're like, oh yes, I am a human. I'm going to the farmer's market. So it's
human.
This is my human self. So it's very extreme. And I also travel a lot with my work, so I'm also dumped into like different countries and different whatever spaces. So I think over time I've and life is just chaotic. Life is can be crisis and drama and whatever, but I think over time I've just like identified like the very normal things that are key to maintaining like, you know, a sense of balance is, and just keeping my head on straight is like meditation, yoga, journaling, and then joy through like coffee, food, time with Odin and Mike. I've actually recently gotten more into gardening because we just got a new place. We have a little garden and, you know, you can be so, just like more connected to nature. Like we just moved to Pasadena and I'm like, oh, things are green. This is oxygen from like, you know, from plants. Moving. Yeah, I'm like, yo, we mountain folk. Like our Wi-Fi is choppy. You know what I mean? Like seriously.
It is choppy.
Yeah. Wow.
So it is a thing.
Aunt knows. We're on meetings all the time. We're like, and I'm texting him like, sorry, man. We're coming back. Stand by. But like, so, but yeah, nature, like all of these things, you know, and you hear about and people talk about all the time that kind of feel like buzzwords and like weird seven steps to joy stuff, but it's very real for me. Mm-hmm. I'm very like energy creation. And like, if I'm in, especially if I'm traveling somewhere, like the first thing I do when I go into my space is like I go into like my apartment or my hotel, wherever I'm put it for the next few months. And like I move everything around to make it comfortable for myself.
Ooh, okay.
I declutter things. I put things where I want them and I set things up so that I feel good in the room. And that's something that I only started doing because I was traveling so much with work is like, what's the environment and space that makes me feel like most functional, but like honestly that the energies are good in a room, you know. I'm very like sensitive to that. I feel like we all are. Aunt, I know you are. You're such like an energy shifter and creator, and I know that you feel that a lot. You're good at that. And I feel like I've gotten better at curating space so that I can be at ease, especially when, you know, we're in these high pressure times in our life, like creating time and prioritizing those things so that I'm taking care of, yes, my mental health, but just feeling good in a space, feeling creative, feeling organization so that it's in a chaotic time. I feel like I can still like have clarity. So those are things that I've become sharper at, I think, over time. But yeah, big up for like meditations and the journals and the yogas and therapy. I went to therapy.
I was about to ask.
Yeah.
If therapy is a part of that.
Yeah. Like when I was going through those dark times, I was in therapy for about like a year and a little bit. And it was like the best. I still shout out to April Wright. if anyone's looking, even though I don't go to therapy anymore, like, you know, I'll still text her every now and then and just be so grateful and thankful, you know. Sometimes I think there's still this weird stigma and taboo around therapy, and it's like, highly recommended.
Oh yeah, I'm a big
highly
fan.
Recommend.
I've been in it for about 8 months now.
Really? Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. And how was your experience?
It's been great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, isn't it so? Even just if nothing else, having a space that is safe to just be unfiltered and say everything that's circling in your mind out loud, mm-hmm. and not being worried about how that can affect the other person, mm-hmm. how that person might view me, how your feelings are. It's just like, sometimes our brains, we can be hard on ourselves or just say cruel things, and just to get it out of there so that you're not attaching to it is so healing on its own. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in therapy now. But at the time, that was critical to being, I feel like, where I am, at a very healthy, like, emotional and psychological place, which is always a practice.
Is there any, and not to say that they're, like, you know, literally discovering gold in moments, like you said, I think what you already said is the true gold of it, right? Like, having a soundboard where you can speak freely and unadulterated, unfiltered, and all that stuff.
Totally.
And I can totally understand, how powerful that can be, but is there anything that you're capable of sharing that were, like, either revelations or breakthroughs that you had through therapy, like specific moments where you were like, that session in particular gave me this particular understanding that I now practice today, or anything?
Oh man,
we're diving deep.
I think that therapy was the jump off point for just kind of the investigation and excavation of within. So beyond therapy, I listen to a lot of podcasts and read a lot of books and, you know, just do a lot of, like, diving deep, mm-hmm. and introspection and reflection and self-analysis, which I think is also, like, naturally, like, of interest in my personality too. A big thing that I've been working on, which sort of is an umbrella for all of those different, like, vehicles that brought these thoughts into my brain, was just, like, the separation of, like, the monkey mind, the conditioning, the expectation, the lessons, whatever was taught to you as a child, and pressures, filtering out what those are that was kind of, like, thrust upon you through society, parents, teachers, peers, society, whatever. Separating what that is and with who I actually am and what I actually believe and what my values are, and working to discover those truths within myself versus what I've been taught to believe or expected to do or pressured into being like. Mm-hmm. So I think therapy and meditation and yoga and everything has been a real foundation of, or an education in, how to look within and how to rip yourself apart and be like, what am I, you know? Yeah. Oh no, which is hard as F, because when you dismantle all of those conditionings, mm-hmm. labels, expectations, pressures, you know, definitions of success and joy and love, sure. and what you should be, all the shoulds, when you, like, figure out what that is and then be like, wait, do I actually identify with that? Do I actually believe that? Do I actually give a fuck about that? Yeah. Does that actually bring me joy?
Really?
Yeah. You know, like, the biggest thing is, like, it's less like what I taught and what I, like, successfully achieved and got beyond, but is like, I'm doing that every day, and, like, being able to separate and hear the voices of that monkey mind, those, like, expectations, the shoulds and shoulds, and, like, separating that from, like, who Addie really is, what I really want to, what type of person I want to be, what type of world I want to live in, how I want to live my life, and just working on clarifying what that is and fighting against that which is outside of me but is constantly shoved in my face and deeply embedded in me, which is so hard.
When you say monkey mind, are you saying like monkey see, monkey do type stuff?
Monkey mind is that inner voice within is like sometimes thought to be both, you know, this kind of like archaic kind of like fight or flight protection defense mechanism from back in the day. You're just assessing crisis and chaos, and so your brain to self-protect goes, no, don't do that thing, don't do that thing, don't talk to that person, don't, you know, because you're gonna be eaten by the lion, you know. this is a terrible definition, but you know, like we have been like for like, you know, from like our, you know, prehistoric times or, you know, less evolved selves, like we have our brains that has been mechanized to self-protect.
Yeah.
But through our evolution, you know, sometimes I feel like the biggest thing is like that brain, the level of fear that goes through your mind is often a version of self-protection. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want to experience failure. You don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to, you know, go after that thing and be rejected. You don't want to whatever. Right. So you stop yourself. And maybe that's a brain and that's a voice within that is telling you that because it's supposed to protect you.
Right.
Then maybe there's also those voices that you have been taught. You are a woman. Be small, be kind, say yes, just nod, make sure you smile, like don't, you know, like don't be too pushy or else you'll be bossy, you know, like whatever, or you're Asian, you should be a certain way, you should, you know, like all of those things that are subconscious to you that is not what you actually think and believe, but you have been, are the foundation of self, you know, whether it be the monkey brain, which has been a your body's defense mechanism to protect you, and also what society is telling you and the expectations and your family. God, let's get into parent stuff real quick. But like, you know, like
that'll and be then episode part two of
yes,
this.
Yes, part two is unpacking trauma from childhood. But there's all of that, right? There's all of that that is, you know, Mike calls it like the evil guy on my shoulder, and he'll come over to me when I'm having a day and I'm like, and then he'll come over to me and he'll like squish the little man on my shoulder, and you know he's very dramatic, right? So he'll go, hey, motherfucker, yeah, now I'm gonna shoot you, yeah, hey! And now like the little guy's eyes are boggling out of his head, and then I rip your head off and I'm eating. Now the little guy's like, like he goes off,
oh,
right?
My gosh,
so
that's
it's
amazing.
Really I'm going on a random tangent right
no,
now.
No, this is good.
But this separation of instilled, taught, conditioned belief systems, your archaic brain, which is of self-protection, and real, and then like stripping away all of those things and being like, do I believe that because I actually believe that? Or do I believe that because I've been taught to believe that? Do I think I can't do that because I can't do that? Or is it because my brain is fearing me out of doing that or telling me I can't? And like that is like a radical like conversation in your mind all day every day.
That's crazy.
And like you're constantly checking yourself, right? And I've really been working at this really hard. And honestly, COVID, the conversations around racism, you know, like sexism, what's happening with women's rights right now, me stepping into more of this like feminist consciousness, all of these really big conversations that have been like unearthed during such a difficult time, but important time, has brought up so many conversations that also have lent to this like separation of like, what is real for me? What do I really want to live my life? What kind of world do I want to create versus what I'm should do, what I'm supposed to do, how I am supposed to act and behave, and like trying to make that divide and constantly redirect into what is honest and true for me, and not get sucked into those societal expectations or that old archaic fear mind, or, you know, and that is hard as F. Yeah. Like, I do that all the time. Like, a perfect example is even just like impossible Eurocentric beauty standards, especially for a woman, especially for a woman in her late 30s. Like, in my brain, I'm like, love the skin you're in, Addie. You are beautiful. You are so beautiful. And like, yeah. And like, capitalism is just trying to take money and make you buy these serums. Fuck the man. And like, you know what I'm saying? And also like, bitch, you're starving. I know you're starving right now. I know because I manage talent. I've been on set. I have been working with artists and especially in entertainment. People, I know you're anorexic. I know you're sad. And like, I'm in casting rooms that are making all of these terrible decisions about beauty and I hate it and it's impossible and back to social media and all of this pressure and like, screw you guys, I'm gonna live in a tree and I'm gorgeous and I'm a miracle and I'm alive. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah, I do know what you're saying.
I know men, and I know men feel this way too. Mm. You know, I sometimes feel like when I start talking about feminism or something, there's a separation of like women, but I'm talking about feminism as equality. Mm. And I also know you men have a different version of that. Be a provider, you gotta be hard, yeah. Blah, 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 you know? So just generally, like, living in a society where, like, the game is rigged, but I know better and I'm gonna fight you. Mm. But I also have been taught to believe this and I'm constantly given those messages. Mm. So I'm like, no, like, trying to just fight through this every day. So that's a very, like, I think, clear example of that constant back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'll ever fully achieve it. But if I'm aware and I'm, like, looking out for it, then I can try and be me that is honest and truthful and again, live the life I want to live and not one that is being determined for me and what I can do and how I should be.
So, okay. You do a lot of dope stuff. We already know that. But then there's this, like, there's a lot that you're juggling in terms of your internal stuff, societal pressures to you being this Asian woman, all those things, right? We're trying to make a good life. Mm-hmm. We're trying to do it well, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to be successful, mm-hmm, with whatever that means to you. Help us define or like understand what your definition of a successful life is, given all the stuff that you just said.
I think I separate like professional self with like human self. Professional goals are, I want to step into being an EP and creating like original like film and TV stories. And so that's my next professional goal, just to add to the random pile of things that I do. That's that. As a human being, success to me, I define as getting to live with ease. And to achieve ease, you need like a certain amount of financial security for sure. But ease enables me to not worry. And I think that allows for you to have joy and freedom. I am a constant freedom seeker. Mm. I like to do whatever I want to do. I like to do it how I'd want to do it. Mm-hmm. I like to pop around to different things. I like to, you know, like captain my own ships and, live, not be confined and not be, I don't know, have the ability to do whatever I want. Which, yeah, sounds really like lame.
No.
But I do feel like ease is the beginning of that. Because there's like a certain amount of like success you have to achieve, I think, to get there. I think at this point right now, I'm there, but you can't feel, I think, joy and success and freedom without a certain amount of financial foundation, which sucks, but it's the, again, it's working within that like system we're in. So I don't want to just purely define success as being financial, but I'm in that system. So yeah. I have to slightly consider it. But ultimately, if I can live in a world where, like, it's simple, man, family, friends, self, happy, healthy, we have a home, and I have the ability to have a certain sense of autonomy. Autonomy is very important. Autonomy, independence, and freedom to experience life in the way that I want to enjoy it, I think would be real success for me, because that's not available to everybody. I think we're all in very unique positions where we get to have slightly unconventional versions of life. I'm very grateful for that, and I'd love to just continue along that path so that, continue on this adventure. I feel like we have very adventurous lives.
Love it. That's so good. That's so good. 3, 2, 1. What's your favorite snack?
See, I get very overwhelmed because favorites are hard. I'm just going to say
most mediocre snack right now.
Most mediocre snack right now.
A snack that's
I've
in your head.
I've been eating a lot of this cheddar jalapeno popcorn.
Nice. Yeah. Good choice.
But
good
chocolate and peanut butter.
Oh,
very, very good. Anything else you want to mention before we move on?
No, lightning! Lightning me! Lightning me! Fuck! I told you, I'm not good at these. Okay, go.
What is your meals by the wifey that you know just going to land with Mike every time?
He loves soup.
Soup.
He loves soup.
He's a broth guy.
He is a soupy, brothy guy.
Yes, he is.
So I have been making soup, a chicken soup and a miso soup.
Okay, if you woke up tomorrow and you could be anybody in the world for 24 hours.
I'm so stressed. I would love to be Odin. That's my dog. Just because I just would want to be yo, are you happy? Is this where you want your bed to be? Do you like this food, or do you prefer the beef one over the chicken one?
That's Addie's perspective. You want Odin's going to be hey, food now. Hey, true. This bed is here.
Very simple.
But I just want to know what's going on in there.
If he's into it.
Am I getting
the stuff that I actually want right now?
Do you know how much I love you? Ooh. Do you feel loved?
Yeah. What if he's your perfume is too strong?
Then I would know. And then I would take that information and I would adjust.
There it is. Yeah. Different kind of Freaky Friday.
That is very, yes.
Let's make that movie, y'all.
Last time you cried and why?
Oh, God. Last time I cried? I think I watched... In the Mood for Love by Wong Kar-wai, and I cried at the scene where he was whispering into a tree.
Wow, that's deep.
That's awesome.
Have you seen that film?
No, I have not.
Oh,
so random. I have not.
Just
no, but now we have to watch
In the Mood for Love, Wong Kar-wai.
Okay, biggest pet peeve of yours that Mike does.
Oh,
this is for the fans.
God.
Fans have been DMing.
Yes, I actually have that as one of my questions.
I love that. These are the intriguing questions you want to ask me. Michael's song. Pet peeve. I mean, I think just normal wife shit. It's why don't you just put that away? Why did you leave that on the counter? it's the shelf is right there. The garbage is literally right there. Just there. Go. I think that's very normal. I think he's gotten better at this, but this is something we've worked at, is Mike is so, I think this is how we balance each other. I'm very realist and he's very positive. And it's always a thing. It's the thing that is difficult is also the best thing about the person. Not to say that this is difficult, but it was an issue of contention, which is I'm more of a realist, and if something's bad, it's just bad, and that's okay. Things can be bad. But he always has to imbue it with meaning and find and derive the positive and stuff. And I'm it can just be bad. What do you mean? I don't need to feel positive about it. It's just
objectively bad.
It's just no.
Yeah.
So
I love it.
But I like, but this is something we have talked about. Mm-hmm. We have discussed this. And also, I think he's become more of a realist and I've become more positive. We so we balance each other. But that is sometimes I'm just like, let me just be mad. It's okay. I don't, it doesn't need to have a lesson right now. Or like a purpose. Don't give me purpose. Let me be angry.
With a time limit, though.
Yeah.
Like, and angry then for like a few minutes.
And then tomorrow we're going to reflect there and be like, you're so right.
Yeah. Let's see. Look at that. That's a good balance. What is your favorite quality about yourself?
I love my people that I love really hard and thoughtfully.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a ride or die fam. Yeah.
That's really good.
I'm sweating.
If you could prescribe something to the world that they must do once a day, what would that be?
Prescribe Xanax, weed, heavy doses of alcohol. I'm just kidding, guys. We're allowed to say that here, right? Children aren't listening to this, are they?
Yeah, chat, cut out the just kidding.
Yeah. And then like... put in like, you know, like the Xanax logo there.
Just an ad.
Get that money, y'all. Prescribe. Honestly, meditation, man. Meditation. Mm. Truly, really and truly. I feel like when people are on their journeys of like self-health, help, whatever, wellness, it's something that's always touted as the way. And it is, because ultimately, if nothing else, it's an exercise in living in presence and awareness. And we could all use some of that. And also quiet, which is, I think, very valuable and important.
Mm.
And sleep. Yes. People needs to be sleeping.
Yes.
But yeah, meditation, faux show, all day. Mindfulness. Yeah, big advocate for that.
Into it. Well, last time we had you on, you gave us your golden rule. So again, if people are curious, go back to that episode and find.
What was my golden rule,
Ben? I forgot. But that's why you got to go back and listen to it.
Yeah, tell me what it is.
But yeah, it's there.
It's golden for show.
It's super golden, super golden. So we kind of switching things up, as a Kinja, now you get our whole like mindset and you know, mystique and all that mastery, right? Like the Kinja sensei master. We love to entertain this concept of everybody has the ability to master something. You just put enough time and energy into something and you can master something. Bruce Lee has this famous quote. He says, "I fear not the man who has practiced 10,000 kicks once, but I fear the man who has practiced one kick 10,000 times." So doing anything with so much dedicated focus and time, you can master anything. What is something that you feel that you have mastered?
I don't know. Honestly, guys, I don't know if I'll ever feel like I've mastered anything. I think I've become very sharp at things. Okay. I'm going to go with sharp.
Give us one of those.
I'm going to go with sharp.
Let's go sharp.
That's fine. Maybe you've mastered sharpening things.
Ooh. I've mastered sharpness. I think that I have really sharpened my producer production brain. And that's through like years as like in the industry. I think people like don't understand sometimes what that producer production might mean. But when you're a producer, you're like the captain of the ship. You're like the puppet master. You're the ringleader. And so you have to have a vision for everything and you have to execute a goal or a project or deliver on a show or whatever, and you are responsible for that. And you are responsible for every department, every person having what they need so that they can all do their job. And so I think that in the years of experience in the entertainment industry through the different levels I've been in and also like having those production experiences is that I'm very sharp at like someone bringing something to me, whether it's a job or just like normal life things, is like macro view really fast, micro view really fast, discovering what needs to happen, efficiencies, where the fires could be, and what the solutions are. And my brain can process that really quick. Mm. And sometimes that is good. Sometimes it creeps up on just normal ass. Like I walk into a restaurant and I see all these things and I'm like, why is the sound off? Why are you standing there? Like, what's going on? Like, and I'm always, why are you standing there? Everything. Like, why are you doing that? That shouldn't be there. Like, what, who did this lighting? Like, what's going on? You're late. Who, why don't you, you're like, so it's like, there's like a level of criticism, but there's also a level of just how can things be done at its best,
right?
Better. Mm. And so that perspective in my work translates into my life, both how I deal with myself, you know, like I can, it's like a separation of sorts of like seeing it for what it is and then dissecting everything, pulling it apart, and then how to move on. So I can do that with myself. I can do that in hard conversations with Mike and hear something and not be reactionary and look beyond and move forward maybe in a more measured way. I think I'm able to like take pressure really well. I'm good in crisis. I can maintain and handle my shit and also help people through those difficulties as well. Even like it's happened like in really hard times with my family when I've had to like put aside my own emotion and be like, get into battle mode. Like I really, like I can get into battle mode really quick. And like, I know it in my eyes. Like I just start going there with my brain. It goes beep, bop, bop, boop. And I'm like, minority report. And like, beep, bop, bop, bow. So, and then I can turn it off and be a total piece of shit and then like just watch a show. But my brain can turn that on and off really quick. And that's made me good at my job, but also a better person, I think. And I've been able to be there and help people. And in moments when like someone needs to like hold it down and guide through, I can be that. Mm-hmm. Even when it's hard. And even if I feel a way, I can step outside myself and be like, we got to just do it and let's go and move on. So I think that that sharpening in my professional life has really helped me in my personal life as well and how I live and, you know, move through the world. So, did I do okay? I don't know.
I don't know. Crisis mode.
I'm in crisis right now. I'm managing myself really well. See, I just turned it off.
I love it. It's, well, we would love to affirm that you are absolutely a master at that. and beyond that, I mean, thank you for sharing your time with us today, first of all. And it's been such a pleasure. It's been such an honor to share a space with you as crew, as a friend, as a sister, as a colleague, like all the things like that, you know, we all wear these different hats in these mixed relationships that we all have. But Addy, you are so self-aware, like beyond self-aware. And we've said that, like I've said that probably like 100 times on this podcast, but like that quality is not, because it involves vulnerability. It involves like, let me just lay myself out on this floor, all of it, insecurities, everything. And the fact that you can own it in a way where it's not like, oh, I'm just going to accept myself for this. Like, yeah, sure you do, but you own it and then you learn how to like work with it and improve it and then strengthen it. And then also just be okay with the stuff that's just going to be, yeah, like stuff that's like, I'm insecure about these things still.
Mm-hmm.
And then going back to that word tension, going back to the just like ability to push through. I think that's something that it really resonates in this conversation with you. And yeah, like just the work that you're doing. I mean, I feel like you're just doing it well.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? And just thank you for just giving us a little snippet of what that looks like in your world.
Thank you so much.
Your uniqueness, your rarity, and what you do for this family is like so profound that it's like, I'm very happy to have you here being able to share a little bit more light on what it is that you do for our community and stuff. So I think this is a very, very magical conversation. Whether the fans take it or leave it, like, I think with us, we all get to find those pockets of bonding, deeper bonding, you know, with the people that we sit across from. So I'm super happy that you're here.
Oh gosh,
I love you deeply,
guys. 100%. I love you too. Thank you so much. You guys are so nice. I really appreciate it. And you know, I feel like we say this all the time. It's like we connect during work, you know, and it sucks, but life is busy and everyone's doing everything. But and I know this is like an extension of work for you guys still. But I was like really excited to like, first of all, very honored and flattered that you guys asked me, truly. Like I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? What am I going to do? But I also just really appreciate this time that we get to just like also kick it and be friends and family, you know? Yes. So thank you. Thank you for saying such nice things and making this like a very like also just like lovely conversation and therapy session for me. I don't know what your rate is, but just, you know, bill me. And yeah, just like really appreciate it, just like your insightful questions and having this like time to reflect back. I feel like, don't you guys feel like sometimes like life is moving so fast you don't reflect, and then when you do, you're like, oh yeah, I have done things. Why do I do robot arms? Anyway, I don't know why.
That's your human self.
My human self is a robot.
Yes.
But yeah, I appreciate just the moment of getting to reflect back, because then you're like, damn, man, like, yeah, it's been a ride. And so thank you for letting me share that and having me.
Yeah.
The good
chance. Well, how can we be of service to you? How can we, like, or the people who are watching or listening, if they're curious, is there anything you want to plug? Website coming soon.
Oh my God.
We got
Ben, don't you remember what I said? I ain't got shit.
We're trying to promote. We're trying to encourage.
Oh my God. And oh no.
Follow at Odin the Handsome Boy.
There you
follow go. Follow at Odin the Handsome Boy. You know, if you see me out and about, say hello.
There you go.
I do have the gram.
You're on the gram.
What's it's the gram? At the Addie Chan.
Okay.
Do you want me to tell you my phone number? I don't know.
We don't need your phone
number. My address is, I don't know. Oh, if you are in New York City in the month of June, I am choreographing a musical called Double Helix. Ooh. You can come see it. It opens on June the 3rd. I have no idea what to say now.
That's perfect. That's all we need.
But plug in the Kinjas all day.
Hell yeah.
And that's about it. I am not good at the self-promotion. But thank you guys again for having me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, thank y'all for watching or listening. If you are finding this episode for the first time, we have many more episodes that come before this. So make sure you follow us on social media at Kinja's Podcast, Cast with a K. We're on all the streamings, iTunes, Spotify, all the good stuff. Write us a review. Leave us an amazing 5-star rating.
Only 5 stars.
Only 5 stars. That's the only thing we accept.
Yeah.
And we just appreciate you guys.
Kinja bang, y'all.
Kinja bang.